Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Ismail's Ghosts, Gemini, and You Were Never Really Here. How do you like them apples? Hi, David. How are you?
I'm okay, Joe. How are you doing this week?
I am all right. I should say, how do you like them films?
Yeah, well, them. You're about to find out.
Okay.
Let's begin with Ismail's Ghosts, which is a French film. The original title is Les Fantômes d'Ismail. And this is a movie by Arnaud Desplechin, who is a very, very interesting filmmaker who I knew slightly years ago, a French filmmaker, who kind of burst on the scene years ago with a short film called La Vie des Morts, The Life of the Dead, which is a very nice little movie about sort of a family that gets together again because somebody has committed suicide. It's a short film, a little under an hour long. I recently looked at it again, and I was reminded of what talent he had when he started out, and I guess he probably still has. And since then, he has made quite a number of movies, not a whole lot, but he's made like several films, and he still does interesting work. Ismail's Ghosts is not at the very, very top of the list, but it's an interesting movie. And one of the things about it, and this will sound a little off-putting to people who don't follow the work of Arnaud Desplechin, which I imagine goes for a whole lot of people,
no,
it kind of refers to some of his earlier films. He's one of these sort of a French filmmaker, and kind of like Honoré de Balzac, he likes putting characters from one of his films into another one of his films. That said, this is entirely a standalone movie. And it is a movie to some extent about movie making. At the beginning of the film, at the beginning of Ismail's Ghosts, we keep hearing about this diplomat, a diplomat named Ivan. And what is going on with Ivan? And we keep hearing what a fascinating and tantalizing character he is. He's a spy, more a spy than a diplomat. And, it seems that this movie is going to be all about him. His name is Ivan Dedalus, an interesting name too, but a little nod to James Joyce there, perhaps, with the last name Dedalus. And he is played by the very fine French actor Louis Garrel. But then it turns out the real main character of the movie is, in fact, the guy mentioned in the title, Ismail, who is played by a very major and excellent French actor, Mathieu Amalric. And Ismail is a filmmaker. So we have here a film about a filmmaker. And what happens to the filmmaker Ismail is that his wife has been missing for a full 21 years. Her name is Carlotta, and she is played by the very, very fine actress Maria Cotillard. And suddenly she reappears. She's been gone. Everybody has assumed she was dead. She's been officially declared missing, which totally frees Ismail from any sort of obligation to her. But now all of a sudden she's back. And this is kind of awkward for Ismail, who now has a whole new woman in his life named Sylvia, played by another very major actress, Charlotte Gainsbourg. And so that's the basic setup for the movie. We have heard a lot, and eventually we meet this spy named Ivan. But mainly we deal with the filmmaker Ismail, who is together with the love of his life, Sylvia, only then suddenly Carlotta shows up after 21 years missing. And that certainly confuses his life. And so the film is partly dramatic, partly a little bit comic, and it becomes fairly complicated as things go along. Interestingly, this movie exists in a couple of different versions, both of which Arnaud Desplechin claims are totally authentic, according to his wishes. The shorter version opened the Cannes Film Festival this past year. However, I saw the longer version at an ordinary American movie theater, so I suppose that's the version which is going to pass under most Americans' noses. I mentioned before that Desplechin sort of likes to people his films with characters from other of his movies. The character of Ismail appeared in a film he made just a few years ago called King Kings and Queen. And then Ivan Dedalus is the brother of Paul Dedalus, who has appeared in no fewer than three of Desplechin's previous movies, an early one called My Sex Life or How I Got Into an Argument, and then somewhat later ones called A Christmas Tale and My Golden Days. So if you have been following Desplechin's work, you're certainly going to find some extra stuff in this film to sort of parse and figure out. But if you've never heard of the guy before, never heard of any of his movies or seen any of them, certainly, this is a standalone film. I found it moderately engrossing. I had a good time watching it. The acting, again, is really, really good. You can't go wrong with people like Marion Cotillard and Mathieu Amalric and Charlotte Gainsbourg, etc. But I can say this stands with Desplechin's very finest work. Mainly, I think it's going to be something that people who really admire French film, and there are many Americans who do, will be going off to see, and others will probably let it pass by, and that's okay too. It'll be interesting to see how many characters from this movie might surface in Arnaud Desplechin's next movie, but let's not go there. Things are already complicated enough. So let us turn to a somewhat simpler film, the movie called Gemini, written and directed by Aaron Katz, who is kind of a graduate of the old mumblecore movie, those American indie films where people sort of sitting around and hanging out together and stuff. But this movie is of a different sort from that. It's still very sort of minimal in terms of the number of characters and so forth, but it has a dark and somewhat sort of tangled story about crime and whatnot in Hollywood, in Los Angeles. So our main characters here are a young movie star whose name is Heather, and she is played by Zoe Kravitz, and she has a personal assistant whose name is Jill, and she is played by Lola Kirk. And we have a lot of suggestions in the movie that even though this is on the surface of it, a movie star and her assistant, maybe they have a more sort of intimate relationship than that. And that's sort of one of the little sub-themes going through the movie. What happens in the beginning of the film, we have the sort of thing that might happen to a movie star and her personal assistant. In this case, a couple of things. A fan shows up who is very pushy and annoying and has to be sort of fended off. So that's one little incident at the beginning of the movie that has ramifications later on. And then more importantly, perhaps, our movie star, Heather, wants to bow out of a movie that she has agreed to do, a movie that she has agreed to appear in, and she's decided she doesn't want to do it. And so she asks her personal assistant Jill to tell this guy I'm bailing out of his project and make things okay again. And so Jill has to deal with that. So those are things that happen at the very, very beginning of the movie. Then when we're starting to think that this might be a film about again the perhaps intimate relationship between these two women who are again on the surface are just a movie actress and her personal assistant, or maybe just about the kinds of things that an assistant has to do to a kind of egocentric movie actress. And this is a very young movie actress, so her egocentrism is sort of right up front and center. She hasn't learned how to disguise it very much or anything like that. Things really take a different turn when suddenly the young assistant, Jill, comes over to Heather's place just on an ordinary sort of errand, and there is Heather lying there dead. She has been shot 5 times, and she's been shot 5 times with Jill's own gun. And so now then the police get involved. So it suddenly turns out this movie that we thought might be a dramatic comedy or something, maybe even a romantic dramatic comedy about a movie star and her assistant, turns out to be a murder mystery. So and by the way, I have to mention right away, the detective who is on this case is played by John Cho, and he is just terrific. In fact, I think he gives the best, most sort of subtle and subtly kind of unsettling performance in the whole movie. He's really good as he sort of tracks this case and tries to solve it. So the The title refers to a tattoo, a zodiac tattoo on the back of the movie star's neck. It refers to some other things too. Of course, Gemini relates to twins, and there is a case of a couple of characters in this movie, a major one and a minor one, who looked very much alike. So there's different stuff going on in this deceptively simple-seeming movie. But what this movie is really about is Los Angeles. Los Angeles, Hollywood, that whole part of Southern California is made to look absolutely just sort of beautiful in an ominous sort of way. We're used to seeing, well, those of us who really like movies are used to seeing Los Angeles in a lot of the old film noir productions from the 40s and 50s, where it's dark and gloomy and rain-slicked sleet streets. It's pretty dark and gloomy here too, but it's in color and it's all sort of ominous and gorgeous at the same time. So for a movie that really paints a very unusual kind of picture of Los Angeles, a gorgeous picture and yet at the same kind of an ominous kind of a picture, which is always kind of haunting. For a story which is haunting in its way too, it's a very, very, very interesting movie in that way. It's a very minor film. You're not going to remember it very long after you see it, most likely, but it certainly is one of the more interesting city films that I've seen in a long time. There was a movie last year called Columbus, which painted a marvelous portrait that was sort of the main point of the movie, was to paint a portrait of this Midwestern city. Here we have a much darker, much more, as I keep saying, ominous and haunting kind of a vision, but a very interesting one, and that's the main reason to go to see Gemini. Finally, You Were Never Really Here. What an interesting title. This is the latest movie by Lynn Ramsey, an English director, although this is very much an American film. She is best known probably for her first feature film, a movie called Ratcatcher, which is a portrait of kids, basically. Kids growing up in a very deprived and underprivileged and a very sort of hard-hitting neighborhood in England. That is very much a portrait of youth, and it has kind of a sociological dimension, even though it's a fictional film. It's always painting a portrait of the interaction between adults and kids in this very depressed area. In fact, all of Ratcatcher takes place during a garbage strike, which really happened in England. So it gives you an idea of the kind of almost literally down and dirty kind of portrayal of parents and children and others in this area. So anyway, she has been growing. That's a very good film. I've seen it number of times. But she has been growing. Lynn Ramsey has been growing as a filmmaker ever since. And you were Never Really Here is, I think, her most mature work to date, partly because of a really sensational performance by Joaquin Phoenix. Now, we know that Joaquin Phoenix is a very gifted actor, capable of doing all kinds of different things in the movies and being persuasive almost no matter what he does. Here he does something I don't recall seeing him doing before. He plays a totally bulked up, hunky guy who is sort of muscles from top to toe, great big beard on his face, even though I knew he was the star of this movie. It took me a little while to recognize him. So he is a big, muscular, and almost inarticulate kind of a character, not what I'm used to seeing Joaquin Phoenix play, as many different kinds of roles as I have seen him play. And he is clearly a veteran of one of the recent big wars, probably the Iraq War. And he clearly underwent a whole lot of trauma during that war, because we keep having these little flash cuts, real quick little flashbacks to horrible things which date from the war, and some other horrible things which probably date from after the war. So he is definitely a post-traumatic stress disorder victim. And what he does for a living is he basically finds people and kills people. That appears to be his job. He apparently is some sort of a tracer who goes around, he gets a job, find this person, or maybe it's just kill that person, and he goes off and he does it. So he is a nasty guy who has suffered his own traumas from nastiness in the past. Of course, this being a Lynn Ramsey movie, it's kind of a little bit offbeat, and the first thing we see him do is to go visit his mother, where, interestingly, there's a little bit of an homage to Psycho, whereas they sort of remember the old movie Hitchcock's great classic and sort of chuckle together over it, and that is a light moment, but it is, suggesting that a whole lot of real darkness is going to to follow. So our main character, whose name is Joe, gets a job. He's supposed to find this young girl who has been kidnapped for her politician father. He's supposed to find her so that his father, her father, who is a politician and doesn't want his name in the papers connected, this won't have to go to the actual police. And so he picks up a hammer. That's the kind of guy he is. And he goes out and he finds the girl, and all kinds of violence, horror, and trauma follow after that. The movie is not told in a straightforward way. I've already mentioned these little quick, almost sort of hallucinatory flashbacks to the Iraq era, or the Iraq War. The Iraq era, I guess, is still going on. And there's also other things that we see along the way, which are very, very, very dark and violent. If you want to see a study of evil, a study of darkness, a study of violence, with a sort of an interesting, almost upbeat twist at the very end, then You Were Never Really Here is the movie for you. If you don't want to see a whole lot of really horrible violence with Joaquin Phoenix at the center of most of it, then You Were Never Really Here is a movie that you would not want to see. It's very, very hard-hitting, unsparing, uncompromising. I am very impressed by it, but I repeat, You Were Never Really Here is a movie that many people will probably wish they had never really gone to. And that is my somewhat mixed up story this week, Joe.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films Ismail's Ghosts, Gemini, and You Were Never Really Here.